9:53. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Matt McLaren is me. Jake Kemp is over there. He's filling in for Scott Harrison this morning. Scott's in Arizona with his family for Thanksgiving. Don't worry, I haven't blown through another co-host.
Did you even consider getting Corby to just come in and do fake Scott for 3.5 hours?
I should have. I'm sure Corby would have loved to have been
here. Oh, no doubt.
At 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
But he would have had to like even come to the meeting, like meeting this morning as fake Scott, just the whole time.
Yeah, and just you're Scott. This is just the way it's going to be. We're going to 11:30 today, leading you up to NFL football, so here in an hour at 10:50, we'll actually have a segment, and that'll be fun. It's going to be watching sports with the family and what a beatdown that can be. So we'll talk about that here in about 15 minutes or so. College football, a lot of it yesterday. We're going to get into the more of the local Texas-type games, so we'll talk about that. Right now, though, it is time for that Sunday bulletin that we do each and every Sunday at 9:50. Those sexual stories that either give you ideas or offend you. You're either one of... I found that in life, when you throw out sexual comments, it goes either way. You either really piss somebody off and they think you are a disgusting pervert.
Or they get out a notepad.
Or they're like, damn, that is genius.
Yeah.
Or at least maybe it's just for the things I say. I don't know. So here's one that we got to... I didn't know that this was a crime. And now I'm wondering, I would like to apologize to at least two girls in college. But a man was jailed for 5 days for assaulting his wife with his member after she refused to have sex with him. Now, evidently, they were estranged. This happened in Maine. And he offered to pay her to, you know, put the meat in the taco. And when she refused, he took his member out and struck her with it. Like a baton, you know, like a billy club.
Right.
And
back of the leg or what?
In the face, evidently. And
that
so
says a lot of things about this guy.
She called the police, and they arrested him for domestic violence assault, indecent conduct, and unlawful sexual contact, even though they were married and had been for 39 years. Now, what got him upset, I can identify with this. She had come over to tell him that she was going to Pakistan to meet a man that she had originally met online.
Yeah, that hurts, but I still don't know that that's the right way to handle that situation, Matt. I feel like I'm somewhat concerned about how you seem to be alibying for a guy who
whipped it out and beat her.
Yeah.
I'm not alibying. I'm just saying that I think that that's probably a lot more common than a lot of people will admit, you know, where maybe one night you've had, you know, and I'm not saying that You're beating your wife. I'm saying that maybe you enjoy it a little rougher.
Wouldn't most women just rather be beat than have that,
case? I don't know. I just didn't know that was a crime because, well, it's like choking, for instance. Would that be a crime?
You got to stay away from that stuff. You got to stay away from that risky stuff that you're into because you're always getting closer and closer to that legality gray area. No one's ever been arrested for missionary. Well, you know, like...
That's the line of the day.
Missionary anyway.
No one's ever been arrested for missionary.
Yeah, I think also the other interesting thing about this story is that unless it actually said it in there, you just assume that this was a face situation where perhaps it wasn't.
No, it said said on her cheek or whatever that.
Yeah, that's.
Did he bruise her? Did he leave marks?
I don't know, and that's like how do you prove that that's what it's from?
And do you get more than one hit, or is it just
maybe it left a little imprint?
And just imagine how
a mushroom on the cheek
how
there.
Endowed this man has to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, he's...
Or do you? I mean, maybe it was just, you know... And we've all done this, you know, the helicopter, and it got out of control, and, you know, the blade chopped your face a little bit, so to speak.
Jeez. I didn't know this is how you guys roll.
You should
crazy.
Listen.
This is how Matt rolls.
Jeez.
It's my life, man. Some chicks like it in the face, some chicks don't.
Oh, my God. The board op in me is really, like, looking for that button right now. Let's just move on.
All right.
It's your turn.
Yeah, it's my turn. And mine doesn't involve, it has nothing of the delinquent sort, or at least the sexual deviant sort. We're going to go to Indianapolis, where Thursday night, Thanksgiving, and the night before Thanksgiving, tend to be historically big boozing nights.
It was for me.
Yeah, we heard. I think I really started to enjoy Thanksgiving more once I was able to enjoy a nice glass of whiskey with the family, you know?
Yeah, fair enough.
But it seems like some people go a little bit too far, as in Indianapolis, police arrested a 20-year-old man after he allegedly ran around his neighborhood drunk in his boxers, yelling at pedestrians and hitting cars with his hands, which...
What's the cause? Disturbing the peace? Disorderly conduct?
The charge? He's getting hit with the PI, the disorderly conduct,
okay, that,
possession
sure.
of alcohol by a minor, and, of course, because you're already so deep in the hole, resisting law enforcement. I'd love to see the advanced drunk stats on how many people get the PI, the disorderly conduct, underage, and then are just like, nah, it's cool. Like, we'll do this peacefully. Just take me.
Yeah, I'm good.
I think that fourth thing is usually involved there, the resisting arrest. But
yeah, we've all gone a little too far sometimes when drinking, especially when you're 20, 21. The stuff you do when you're hammered is just, it's amazing that...
You're alive?
A large percentage of the population makes it past that age.
There's no doubt. I mean, and I think that it's a classic...
And I don't even mean driving. I just mean the stuff you do at parties or in public.
It's a classic moral conundrum, but I mean, it definitely makes me concerned for my own child having to bring a kid, you know, and just that old deal of knowing all the stuff that you did. And also just the idea that everything is so much more public now and everybody's doing their own show and
everything's on YouTube.
Exactly.
Everything's recorded.
Exactly. Like, there's going to be a time when you're voting for a president, like, you're going to have a choice between two people, and both of them are going to have, like, some horribly embarrassing stuff from, like, YouTube.
It'll be one of these guys.
Yeah. Like, it's a butt chug. It's
a what?
Come on.
You don't know what a butt chug is?
No.
Butt chug, bro.
No. A butt chug.
Ask Gordon. Perfected this move.
There was, when you do cowboys on the 30s, he was doing butt chugs on the 15s for about 2 weeks.
All right.
It's just a method of getting intoxicated using, I guess, like a beer bong that sounds exactly like
and
what
you
think
it
is.
And you stick it up.
Yeah.
Your
yeah, and a kid got
area.
A kid
okay,
at
so
a like, frat in Tennessee. Okay. Had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Because he was so, like, he was about to die. Because
it's like the kids in class would stick the tampon soaked in alcohol up their butt.
Or just your normal place for
other
the
hole.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
Yeah, but there was a news story that came out. Well, guys were doing it, too. Like, in high school, I remember a news story that came out.
Yeah.
Google it. I'm not making that
no,
up.
No, I believe you. Because this kid in Tennessee got, you know, he goes to the hospital. The hospital tells the media.
God.
The media reports it.
Right.
And I swear to you, it's the most surreal, one of the most surreal things I've ever seen. He gets a lawyer, holds a press conference, and this lawyer, who looks like a southern gentleman lawyer, is like, he said the word butt chug no less than like 10 times in his defense of his client. My client has not, or never will, engage in this butt chugging.
All right, so with that...
And that's one of those deals that you're taking notes on, not acting disgusted by. I can see it in your face.
I'm, you know,
you're writing.
Sounds interesting. That's all I'm saying is it sounds interesting. I don't frown on anything as long as it's legal and doesn't hurt someone else.
What type of beer do you use to do that?
Or probably not craft, whiskey, I would hope. It would kill
vodka?
You.
No, that would kill you. I think that would kill you.
So you'd have to use like a beer or a wine cooler?
Yeah, I think it's...
Schlitz.
You're not breaking out the TexasBrews.org selection of the month.
That
I don't
like.
Yeah, that's
like Colt 45.
All right, we got to get into the birthdays here while we have time, because I got to tell my story about one of them.
Okay, so you want me to roll through?
Yeah. So we got the birthdays today.
Before we go birthdays, let's go historical events. On this day in 1952, Agatha Christie's murder mystery play The Mousetrap opens at the Ambassador's Theatre in London, later becoming the longest continuously running play in history. That's right up your alley.
Sure.
Is that the story? You were in that?
I wasn't in that, but. No.
Okay.
Keep going.
1963,
never
President John F. Kennedy buried at Arlington National Cemetery.
Ooh, yikes.
That's a salute to Gordon.
Perhaps.
Back and to the left.
Michael Lombardi has some thoughts on that. And
conspiracies.
And Bruce Springsteen.
All right, here's our birthdays. I'm going to work... should I go? Yeah, let's just go oldest first and you can tell your story. 1944 was the birth of one American actor and intellectual. I think he's probably classified as such. Ben Stein.
And this is my story. Because when I was in college, down at Southwest Texas, I was working for the radio station down there, and Ben Stein is Jewish.
Not KOBJ.
KTSW.
KTSW.
89.9. The other side of radio. So, they had this big media event, come meet Ben Stein and ask some questions or whatever, because he was at UT up in Austin for some Jewish thing that they were doing up there. So we drive up there, me and my co-host Rachel. And Rachel is 5'10", brown hair. She was attractive, you know. But we were just friends. We get up there, and...
No slaps.
Everybody is asking Ben Stein generic questions, and Rachel asked him something about his shoes and why he always wore the shoes the way that he did. And he thought that was funny.
He wears, like, Vans.
Yeah.
Suits.
And I forget why he said... Anyways, we're done. We're like walking out of the room, and this guy comes up and says, Ben would like to talk to y'all. Like, okay. So we go over, and Ben Stein, and his Ben Stein voice is like, Rachel, I enjoyed the question. Would you like to come to see me speak tonight?
Ooh.
And we're like,
a personal invite.
Okay, sure. So he gets his tickets, second row, nice tickets to this auditorium on the UT campus, and we watch him give a speech, and he's looking at Rachel like 10 times during the speech. And then the speech is over. We're just going to leave. I guess it's his agent. I don't know who it is. Comes up, Ben would like to talk to you guys. Okay. Well, how would you guys like to have a drink tonight? Do you have anything going on? Can we go get a drink together? So we go to a bar in Austin and have like five drinks and get drunk with Ben Stein of all people. I swear.
That's crazy.
He is so into Rachel. He gets a couple of drinks in him and starts talking about his house in L.A. and how he'd love to fly her out to L.A. He's got a nice pool. We could lay out by the pool, have some drinks. You know, come on out. Here's my number. Let me get your number. I'll give you a call. I kid you not. Rachel's freaking out, doesn't know what to do. She's not interested in this at all, by the way. She gives him the station number to her desk at the station. He calls that night. We get there on Monday morning, and there is a voicemail from Ben Stein about how great it was to meet her, and he can't wait to have her out to his house in L.A.
I mean, I'm sure that it's tough until you've had the ability to woo women just with your celebrity to say that you wouldn't do that, but that's the worst, dude.
And it had nothing to do with him wanting to be around me. It was all about I just happened to be there with her, so I got to hang out with Ben Stein one night and drink and essentially...
I'm surprised he didn't have one of his minions, you know...
Get rid of me.
Yeah, separate you from the situation.
Yeah, I mean, he was super nice, really cool to talk to, but it got a little creepy.
He talked politics with you?
No. It was basically just like, what do you guys do? Oh, how's college going? What do you want to do in your life? And how his career went?
Well, he was busy feigning interest in her life, so
yes,
he had to,
exactly,
by proxy, feign interest in yours.
Evidently, yeah. I mean, I was obviously the massive third wheel, just drinking whatever I could on Ben Stein's tab.
Dude, if you're going to be the third wheel, I'm going to be the third wheel in that Ben Stein. You should have been trying to angle for that. I know you're into that weird stuff.
With Ben Stein,
I don't know.
I imagine it'd be like
a better story.
Yeah,
remember the Gary Cole character in Office Space? I imagine it'd be like that, where he's like, "Yeah, Matt,
but maybe not.
Can you?
Maybe not. Maybe it would have been dynamite." And then this story, honestly, I wouldn't have been surprised if that's where this ended.
God, with Ben Stein.
Look, dude, you've set the standards here for what I expect.
All about crossing swords with Ben Stein.
All right, so we ran out of time on birthdays,
so
I guess.
So happy birthday
to Ben Stein. And also intern Jamie Langlet. She had a birthday on Friday, so happy birthday to her.